Mark 16, 17 and 18. And these signs will accompany those who believe. Now we need some believing believers, not some unbelieving believers. Most of the church is unbelieving in these promises because the Lord says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. They will cast out demons in my name. Now then, if we are sons and daughters of God, we have been given all authority over these demonic spirits. You can't see them, but they're the one that's making us sick and doing all these things. God made them for this purpose. He said in His Word, He made everything for His purpose, both visible, invisible, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Everything was made by Him and for His glory. So if a demon is there, God made it. Ain't nothing here that He didn't make. Y'all agree with that? Yeah. Yeah, God's in control. Ain't nobody else in control. The devil, he's just a peanut. He's not in control. He said, they will cast out demons in my name. They will speak with new languages. They will be able to handle the snake or the serpent, that's the devil himself, with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it won't hurt them. They will be able to place hands on the sick and heal them. That's written in my Bible, you know. And if it's written in my Bible and written in your Bible, then I'm just crazy enough to believe that God meant what He said. Amen. If God said that, then I believe I can do that. You know what the church ought to be doing? Every time we see somebody, if we're in a store, or we're anywhere, if we see somebody that's not feeling well or kind of crippling around or whatever, as a Christian, what should we do? Should go up to them and say, could I pray for you? Could I just lay hands on you and touch you in the name of Jesus? It's just like the other day over at Home Depot. There was a lady over there and she was checking us out, and we had a whole bunch of stuff. That's back when we were building this church. It's been 3 or 4 years ago, but we were checking out, and while we were checking out, she was doing this. And Dave said, ma'am, is there something wrong with you? She says, I have a migraine headache that's just killing me. And of course, when she said that, I just think, hey, I got to pray for her. In fact, did Jesus say pray for her? Or did Jesus say lay hands on her? He said both, didn't He? Yes. So He said, I got to lay hands on the sick and they will be healed. So I'm headed for her. And Dave says, ma'am, can we pray for you? And she's looking at Dave. She says, no. And just as she says no, I just touched her on the forehead and I said, got to me too late, ma'am. I'm sorry. You're already healed. I said, I guarantee that headache's gone. She said, it is. It's gone. I said, well, it was just Jesus. You know, that's the way Christians ought to be. Yes. You know, we ought to be living like that. Amen. At least with each other. That's just like Dave. Dave's up in Canada. Last week, my phone rang. It's Dave. He said, Pastor, I'm hurting. You got to pray for me. I said, uh-oh, what'd you do? He said, I was trying to put a propane bottle up over my head into a rack. And you know, they're pretty heavy, 25, 30, 40 pounds, whatever. But he's picking it up overhead. And as he goes to do it, he twists somehow a rib or something. Oh, it hurt. He said, and I got to have you pray for me. I said, Dave, have you confessed your sin? He said, yes. The minute it happened, I said, Lord, I don't know what I've done, but I repent. I said, Dave, you know you're going to be healed when I pray for you. He said, that's why I called you. He said, I know you always pray in faith. And I prayed. 5 minutes later, he called back and said, oh, glory to God, Pastor, the pain's completely gone. I'm completely healed. When we do something in faith, who shows up? Jesus always shows up. I mean, it's written all over the book. Does this say that we can cast out demons? Does it say we can lay hands on the sick and they'll get well? Then why in the world don't we believe God? You know, I've been in a lot of churches since I left the Baptist church. I've been in Catholic churches. In fact, I was asked to come down to College Station to a Catholic church after I got a lady healed with terminal cancer, breast cancer. And the pastor of that church invited me down there because he was a friend of hers. And I went down and spoke to his entire congregation, a Catholic church, about healing. And after it was over, he said, well, I know now why I've never got anybody healed. He said, I have prayed. I've used that James 5:14-15. I have used that over and over and over, and I have never seen a healing. Now I know why. He said, I always say, Father, if it be your will. He said, it never works. He said, but I won't ever say that again. After God told me it was His will, next time I'll just pray for him and say, thank you, Lord, it's done. And he'll start seeing results. Because Jesus said, okay, let's go back to where we were in Matthew 18:21. Now let's go to verse 23 and 24. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven can be compared to a king who decided to bring his account up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. Have you ever seen a time whenever people borrow money from you and you just have to go tell them, hey, it's time you pay up? Is there people like that in the world? All over the place. Yeah, they want to borrow money. Everybody wants to borrow money, and it's getting worse now than I've ever seen it in my life. There's always somebody needing money. It just seems like almost every day somebody comes to me and wants to borrow $100, $1,000, or whatever. You know, I mean, I'm not an endless supply of money. You know, I have a little money, but I don't have an endless supply. And then, of course, if I loan you money and you say, I say, how are you going to pay this back? Well, I'm going to pay you back $100 a week. I said, okay. And then the next week, I don't see you. And the next week, I don't see you. And the next week, I don't see you. So then I go see you. I go see you. And I said, hey, you're 3 weeks behind. You're $300. Oh, yeah, I had planned to come see you, but I just couldn't make it. I don't believe that either. You know, if they wanted to, they would get there if they saw it was important. But anyway, here we got this kingdom, and that's the kingdom of heaven. It can be compared to a king who decided to bring his account up to date with servants who had borrowed money from him. In the process, one of his debtors was brought in who owed him millions of dollars. Actually, it's $3.8 billion. It was 10,000 talents in the King James, but it's about $3.8 billion. Now then, back in this day and time, $3.8 billion is a lot of money. It's kind of like a trillion today, right, Jack? It says, he couldn't pay, so the king ordered that he and his wife and his children and everything he had be sold to pay the debt. Here's something that's very important. You realize that this man, he is going to be sold, and then you notice his wife is going to be part of this, right? And then you notice his children, and then you notice everything he had be sold to pay the debt. So when I got a hold of this scripture, God is trying to say, if you owe me a sin debt, if you owe me a sin debt, and you have an unforgiveness toward your spouse for anything, your husband, your wife, anybody, if you're carrying an unforgiveness, he says, I'm going to sell you and your wife and your children and every asset you have, and I'm going to pay it on the debt as far as it'll go. Are you beginning to understand why the Lord says, forgive them 490 times? When I got a hold of that, I thought, God, that could mean what it says. You couldn't be that hard-hearted. He is exactly who he says he is in this book. I realize there's not a handful of people I ever met that believes that he is what this book says he is. But most people don't. Most people do not believe this. But look at this. This is the word of God. He couldn't pay, so the king ordered that him, his wife, his children, and everything that he had be sold to pay the debt. So what if the king decides, okay, today instead of just selling you, I'm going to sell your wife. The husband's the one who's got the unforgiveness. Maybe it's against another man. And all of a sudden, you as the wife come down with cancer. People said, that's not what the way it is. That is the way it works. I've seen it many, many times. When I've seen this principle, in fact, I'll tell you a story here that's so awesome. A Baptist deacon, his son came to the Baptist church that I taught in as a Sunday school teacher for many years. And he come to me one day and said, Thurman, he heard me teach some of these principles. He said, I've never heard these kind of things taught in my life. But he said, my dad is a Baptist deacon, and he has had cancer for the last 8 years. And he said, now then, they have given him all these chemo treatments and all these radiation treatments. And just recently, they've given him too much radiation. They burned a hole in his colon. He's now leaking to the inside of his body. And the doctor says he's only got a week or two left to live, and it's over. I said, well, let me ask you a question. Tell me about your daddy. Is he a good, loving, sweet man or what? He said, oh, Thurman, he's the best man I ever met in my life. I said, would your daddy hold an unforgiveness toward anybody? He said, absolutely not, nobody. He said, he's a Sunday school teacher, or was when he could do it. He was a Sunday school teacher in a Baptist church. Said he's a deacon in a Baptist church. He loves God. He's just the finest man and the sweetest man I ever saw in my life. I said, okay, but he has terminal cancer. I said, tell me about your mother. He said, Thurman, my mother is not sick. I said, that doesn't make any difference. When a man and a woman get married, the two become one. And God's out, you're one. So you better be careful who you're married to. They can kill you. They can literally kill you. And they don't know it. And you don't know it. So anyway, he says, my mother is a totally different story. He said, my mother holds a grudge against many people in our family. I said, she's the reason your daddy's dying. It's written. Who's going to pay the price? He, the man and the woman, the two became what? One. And now then, she's got an unforgiveness. It said he's going to take account of all these debts, And now then, he has this unforgiveness. And so the Lord says, he's going to be sold. His wife's going to be sold. His children's going to be sold. His assets are going to be taken up. All of them. What does that leave you? Nothing. I said, there's a problem. Your mother. I said, your mother holding unforgiveness toward these people in the family is what's opened the door to the demonic world to kill your daddy with cancer. He says, well, what do I need to do? I said, well, first thing, your mom and dad, you said, are Baptists. So I said, don't go over to your mother and dad's house and tell them that, mom, you got to forgive these people because your sin's killing daddy. I said, she ain't going to believe that. That's going to be so foreign to her. She's not going to believe that at all. I said, I can tell you, number one, if she's got all these unforgiveness toward all these people, she's spiritually dead anyway. Anybody that's spiritually alive knows that God said in his word, don't hold a grudge against anybody. It makes no difference what they do. Forgive them. Is that right?
Amen.
It's not just one place in the word. I said, but take Mark 11, 25 and 26. I said, your mother can believe this. I said, your mom and dad raised you in a Baptist church. They believe God's word. So I said, I want you to take Mark 11, 25 and 26. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive you your sins also. Now, when you start to pray, what are you supposed to do about forgiveness? Forgive everybody, right? Is that what he said? I said, she can believe that. That's just pretty hard to miss that, isn't it? When you hold a grudge against anybody for anything, then if you decide, well, I need to pray about this, then I happen to think, oh, I got an unforgiveness towards someone. Is it going to do any good for me to pray for you? No, not at all. You might as well forget that. The Lord's telling me, when I even think about praying and I happen to come to my heart, I got an unforgiveness toward him. The Lord says, you go get right with him and forgive him. And then you come back and pray. Otherwise, forget it. That's exactly what he's saying. And that's why so many people can't get a prayer answered. They can't get their mate healed or they can't get healed themselves. When I told him to take Mark 11, 25 and 26 and go show it to his mother and tell her she has to forgive. And so he went and to his mother and told her that, mom, you have to forgive these people. And he showed her those scriptures and she said, you're right. I know I need to forgive them.
You have been listening to Thurman Scrivener of the Living Savior Ministries. We are going to stop our program here for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like today's broadcast in its entirety, entitled So Important to Forgive Everyone, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's area code 940-242-2106. You can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.